Well, thank you. That theme that I was looking for, that whistling theme, is from the 1954 John Wayne movie, The High and the Mighty. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your open line calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here at Coast to Coast Land. I'm George Norrie. Let us go to Joshua Tree, California. Daniel, welcome to the program. Hi, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I just kind of wanted to see if you had any information about this. Past couple of weeks, my mom has been saying that she feels that her scalp, like the crown of her scalp, is falling towards her back. And she says she feels that it has something to do with voodoo.
Who would be trying to curse her?
I don't know. She says her hair hurts. And
Why do you think voodoo?
That's what she says.
Why does she think that?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Has she been checked out by a doctor?
Yeah.
What's he say? All clear?
Yeah. And there's nothing that really shows any different signs on her hair.
All right. Have you asked her when she says, I think it's voodoo, something's happening to me? Did you ask her?
Yeah. And she just said she just feels like somebody has a doll and just like taking her scalp and taking it one way.
Well, if somebody does have a doll and is doing that, she's got to know who they might be. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so, but I have no clue. I don't really know how to approach it with her without...
Well, you know. I would just be blunt with her. I'd say, Mom, why do you think this? And she's got to tell you. Then you've got to say, well, who do you think would be doing this to you? She's got to tell you. She says, I don't know. Well, she's somebody, if it's voodoo, I'm not sure it is, then somebody is very upset with her.
Yeah, like I said, I have no idea who would be doing this to her.
No. Well, all right. Well, check in with her, Daniel. Find out from her. But I don't think it's voodoo. I really don't. There's something else going on with her. But it's not that. Let's go to Florence, Kentucky. MJ, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Florence, I said Florence. I'm in Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
Okay.
I'm your Marlena Dietrich singer. Remember?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. I've got a funny story, and I'm so sorry that I missed Sergeant Stone, because he would have kind of appreciated
Clifford
it.
Clifford was a home run interview, wasn't he?
Oh, he was wonderful. He was, but it reminded me of something. My stepdad was in the Army at Fort Belvoir, Virginia.
Okay.
So in the summer, I went up to visit, and he was a draftsman, and he had a friend up there that had the car. There was only one car that they rode around in. Everybody piled in and got rides home and vice versa. But anyway, I was at the swimming pool, and my stepdad said, well, be outside the pool about 4 o'clock, and the engineer would pick you up with his car. So sure enough, here he comes with his car, and I hop in, and they had to be around there till about 5 o'clock. So he said, well, just come back to the office with me. I said, okay. So I went back to the office. And I was sitting there, and like I was 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting there, and I noticed a bunch of rubber stamps. And I took a plain piece of paper, and I started stamping all these things, top secret, all these secret stamp things, you know, head of the engineering department, top secret, all this.
And you're just stamping everything.
Stamping all over this paper, having a ball. Well, a few years later, I discovered that I was sitting in the engineering research and development office. And probably if somebody had found out that I was in there, they would have
locked
him in jail. Because one of the things that I found out much later that they had, that they were back engineering, was a Russian MiG.
Well, yeah, they probably were.
And I didn't find that out till years later, but I thought, oh, dear, I almost got myself in a lot of trouble, and my friend took me there. So I thought that was kind of funny. I wanted to share that with him. But I've enjoyed your show and love you to death, and happy birthday ahead of time.
Well, that's months to go. Thanks, MJ.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
All right, save my birthday till June 4th. Let's go to Hampton Roads, Virginia. Greg, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hey, Greg.
How are you, George?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, it's a real honor to be able to speak with you. I've been listening to you since 2001 or so, and,
sure.
And it's really basically become a religion of mine, I think.
I can't believe how many years have gone by, Greg. It's amazing.
And it's unbelievable. You know, I just, every night I tune in, I listen, and I just, every show is just that much more fascinating. It really is a lot of fun to listen to you. So, you know, thank you for what you do.
Of course.
So, you know, I wanted to tell you about a dream I had years ago. I was probably in sixth grade, so I was probably, you know, how old are you in sixth grade? 12, 13 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
We had had, I grew up with a close family friends, basically. My mother and father were friends with these folks, and they had children our age, and we grew up together, and Dad ended up dying in a boating accident. It's like a tragic boating accident. He was an outdoorsman, you know, a hunter, canoer, and he just, the boat capsized and the anchor wrapped around his ankle and took him under. And
oh my God.
Really tragic. And,
yeah.
And so his two daughters, one of them was my age, her name's Danelle, years after his death, Danelle and I were hanging out one night, and I started telling her about a dream I had about Dennis, about her father. And basically the dream entailed all of us children, my two siblings, and then his two daughters. We were all walking up the teeny little road in southwestern New Hampshire where he's buried. And you know, of course, out of the, you know, rocks and the boulders on the side of the road comes Dennis, and then we all give him hugs and where have you been? And then he says, you know, I've always been here and I'll always be with you. And you know, at the time after the dream, I didn't really think anything of it. And you know, years later, I was in high school chatting with Danelle, and I was telling her about the dream. And I got halfway through the dream, and she finished it. She had had an identical dream.
Remarkable.
And that's really the best way you can put it, George.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I always considered myself an atheist. You know, I always considered myself, you know, thought that when you die, the lights shut off and that was it, you know. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, that probably isn't true.
That's when the light is turned on.
Exactly. And it really, it was just one of those moments that I'll always go back to and say, you know, that it changed the way I perceive life and the world around me. You know, Dennis came to me in my dream, and he came to Danelle, and he was making sure that we were both okay.
That's
it was
so
really cool to be able to share that with Danelle. So,
yeah, well, and thanks for sharing it with us too.
I really appreciate you having me on, George. I've been listening, you know, like I said, for about 8 or 9 years, and I love your show. So
have a good
weekend.
I
really appreciate it.
All right.
Have a great night.
You too. Let's go to Mike in Colorado. You are on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. What's going on there in Rifle, Colorado?
Oh, not too much. It's actually kind of cloudy out here right now.
Boy, it's cloudy here in L.A. It doesn't stop raining out here.
Yeah. The reason why I was calling, mm-hmm. I had a couple of Bigfoot stories for you.
That happened to you?
Yeah. I was about 5 years old. We went camping, and my grandma and I happened to look up on the side of this cliff, and we seen something moving. And at first we thought it was a man, but it wasn't. After a while, my grandma noticed that it was really hairy, and it kept stopping, looking down on our campsite. Well, we ended up leaving the campsite because we mentioned it to my mom and dad. Well,
and they said, you're out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about 4 years later, we actually moved out here in Colorado, and we lived in a trailer park out here, and I caught a faint smell one night. And I ended up getting up, and at first I thought it was a skunk.
But yeah, they say it's a horrible, horrible stench.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I looked outside, and, well, what I saw was unbelievable. It was walking up the street, and it stopped and looked around right at me.
Did you think it was somebody in a costume first?
Yeah, actually I did,
yeah.
But it, you know, that smell was just unbelievable. So it scared me, so I went and told my mom. My grandma ended up getting up, too, because she heard me talking with my mom.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, it's been kind of puzzling to me. You know?
How big would you describe it, Mike?
It was about maybe 8 foot tall, maybe a little taller.
Jeez.
About, and it was pure black. The way I was looking at it.
Cone shape? Head?
Yeah. It had a cone shaped head. I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for about 2 years, and I do security work here and salt and stuff. So
one day you're going to have a camera with you and get one of these things for us.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do. I mean, I believe it. There's just been so many strange stories about this creature out there, Mike. You folks are telling the truth. I mean, I can tell with the conviction of how you just told us that story. You saw what you saw.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Next up, let's go to Corey in Florida. Whereabouts in Florida are you, Corey?
Hey, I'm from Destin, Florida.
Great.
It's in the Panhandle. Small town, beautiful town.
Great spot down there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, George, I want to first of all thank you for giving me the time. I've listened to this show since I was 14 years old.
My gosh.
And I'm 22 now. I remember sitting in my brother's bed with him, just gathering around listening to Art Bell talk about Area 51. So
you were mesmerized then, weren't you?
Yeah, I loved it. I love this show. But I actually have an interesting thing that happened to me last June. Okay. On my birthday. I had a stroke, and I had an ischemic stroke.
Yeah.
And it paralyzed the right-hand side of my face for a little under a month, but I had a full recovery. And
good for you.
Why is it weird? It's because actually, I remember my dream that night. And
did you have a stroke in your sleep?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'm very active. I'm very healthy. Eat well. I'm in college. Everything. And I had a bad blood clot in my leg, and the doctor said it was a freak stroke. Basically, it traveled up into my brain, and everything happened. So,
how strange.
This is what's interesting, though. Ever since it's happened, since my birthday on June, it happened on my birthday. What a present, you know? Couldn't even celebrate my party. when it happened, I remember my dream. And I remember, you know, you always hear the dreams being like white light and everything.
Yeah.
And it was very small, and it happened. It affected my brain, so I don't remember much of my dream. But I remember it being a very, very intense white light. It was so bright that I woke up when I had that dream, and I woke up at about 5 a.m. before the sun was up, because I thought that my dream was so real that I was seeing the sunshine come in.
In the light must have been right at the moment you had the stroke.
Yes. Right. And here's the thing. I slept for over 17 hours that day because I had my stroke. My body was so, like, shocked.
Oh, yeah.
I slept till 6 that evening.
And nobody knew anything was wrong with you?
Well, my mother was home because my mother is a principal, and she was downstairs, and it was summer break, so she was just reclining, and she finally yelled upstairs, you know, hey, because I saw my parents because I'm in college, but she was like, hey, Corey, are you going to come down? Are you going to be social? And
yeah.
I was like, no, nah. I couldn't
like
talk.
Like you were drunk or something, right?
Oh, George, I'll tell you this. It is a weird feeling having a stroke. It's so surreal.
Well, did you know
my leg?
Did you know something was wrong right away?
No, I had no clue. I'm perfectly healthy. I had no clue what happened, and to have this happen, and then also at the moment I had the stroke, be woken up, and then be so tired and so out of it, fall back asleep immediately. It's just the weirdest thing. And just 2 calls ago, you had the gentleman say he had the dream, and he went to see his sister, I think it was, and she completed his dream.
Yep.
It was one of those things. And, like, ever since then, I've just always been wondering, like, is there more? You know, I've just been, I'm not an atheist anymore, so to speak. I can say that much, but it was just so surreal.
Well, I'm glad you are doing okay now, Corey. 22 years old. What a feeling, though. You go to bed and you have a stroke in your sleep and you wake up that way. But it's remarkable. You've pulled yourself back. We'll take a few more calls before the break. Corey, thanks for calling. Let's go to Bakersfield, California. Hey, Jethro, welcome to the show.
George, hallelujah, praise God that it's about time that I get to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you got through.
Well, my cousin JC wants to send you his love. He still hasn't given up on you.
JC is your cousin?
You bet he is.
I did not know.
We're out here in Bakersfield. You know where that is?
Oh, yeah. But I did not know JC had a cousin.
Oh, you bet. I'm originally from Fort Stockton, Texas. Do you know where that is?
No, that I don't.
Oh, it's a lot of tumbleweeds, and, you know, it's not too good out there.
Yes, you sound a little like JC almost.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. That poor gentleman who called before you, I sure wish he could come out here with us because we've got a movement that's moving. It's growing. JC's taking on new people, but the problem is you've got to find us. Well, we're not giving out our address because, you know, we'd have way too many. You know what he did to us?
JC?
Yeah, he's been making us watch Davy and Goliath reruns.
That wasn't a bad show, Jethro. I used to watch that.
But George, 20 times a day,
he
cut off the Brady Bunch. He said that was too briskade.
Is he still looking for Edna?
No. He's got a better lady now.
How come he doesn't check in with us anymore?
Well, he's quite busy right now. He's going to be doing a record. He's trying to mimic. Do you remember that old guy, Boxcar Willie?
That goes way back.
Slim Whitman.
Yep.
Yeah. He's doing a fusion between those two.
JC is going to cut a CD?
It's gospel, and it's going to have the power to heal.
Well, you tell him when he cuts it, we'll play a little clip for him.
Well, if you ever saw that movie, Mars Attacks, but please don't tell him that I saw it, because I don't want to get in trouble.
He
you
sounds
saw
like
what
that?
It did to those aliens.
Well, that's true.
Well, you watch what it does to the people's minds when they listen to it.
All right, I'll be ready for it. Jethro, I'm glad JC has a cousin. Now we have two of them to contend with. My, oh, my, oh, my. But you sound a little more docile than JC. Let's go next to Don in Yuba City, California, west of the Rockies. Got about a minute or so, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. How are you?
Good.
I had about a three-part question for you.
Let's do it quickly.
All right. In your professional opinion, George, after all the years you've been on the air, because you've talked to so many amazing guests and stuff, I was curious, could you kind of give me like a ballpark figure on when first contact with aliens would have taken place? And also, to your knowledge, have the Nazis had UFO or ever made ET contact? And do you have any knowledge of aliens meeting with Eisenhower at Holloman Air Force Base or at Edwards or anywhere else?
Okay, there's talk that, number one, the contact occurred around 1947, Roswell, right around that time period. Two, the Nazis, there have always been stories that they had alien technology, they were reversing technology. I can't prove that. Three, a caller called in just last week and said he had a film of President Eisenhower at the time with extraterrestrials. Tom's in touch with him. Maybe we'll be able to get some of that film if it exists. I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. There you have it. Sure is. What a fascinating night. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit about Planet X. Is Planet X a large unknown planet orbiting beyond the orbit of Neptune? The true Planet X is unknown, its identity shrouded in mystery. Past interview with Nancy Leader was one which presented information on Planet X. She also channels the Zetas, as she claims to be in telepathic contact with alien beings from the Zeta Reticuli star system. The imminent return of Nancy Leader, and maybe also the extra planet. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good to
well,
hear your voice.
George, you guys have had a picture of Planet X on your website, unbeknownst to you, since, I don't know, a couple of months now. It's called Fire in the Sky. Somebody notified me by email and said, is this Planet X? And I was astonished. It's one of the best photos. It was a very clear sky. Guy was walking the Delaware Beach just ahead of dawn. And the sun can be seen coming up, the light of the sun, to the left. The moon is in the sky. And there, just offset from the moon, is Planet X shrouded in dust. A perfect shot.
It's not the moon that we thought, huh?
It's not the moon. The moon is there. You can see the moon.
Yeah.
And there's no chemtrails. You know why they're fogging up the sky with chemtrails. They don't want you to see that orb, which is usually sighted just a little bit to the right of the sun. On rising and setting is the best time because that's when orange light kind of bends and the sun itself gets larger. And likewise, Planet X would appear, if the light is bouncing off of it correctly, would appear. And people have been sending me emails saying, I'm beginning to see the second sun again, you know, rising and setting. So that's why the increase in chemtrails fogging up the skies. They do not want you noticing that orb. But if you want to see what they don't want you to see, go and look, folks. Fire in the sky. And I'm hoping that Lex puts a link in directly to that page. It was the best. And the guy didn't know what he had captured. He didn't know what he had. He said, what is this? I've been sitting on this for months since the fall, and someone said, send it to Coast to Coast. Well, we knew what it was.
Nancy, we're going to have you channel a little bit later on tonight.
Yep.
And lately, the world is talking about global warming and huge Earth changes.
Right.
You know, we've all got our own views on why we think this is happening. Some believe it's man-made. Others believe that it's cyclical. What's your take on this, and what are you told?
The Zetas have said it is not man-made. We have had this increase because Planet X is hoved into our inner solar system, and it's here. It's so shrouded in dust, we don't see it like a planet, you know, like Venus, where the sunlight bounces off of it, and it's a real clear. It's like looking into a fog bank because it's so shrouded by that red dust that is of legend, like, you know, Revelation saying, well, the red dust will make the rivers run blood red. So as it comes in, it upsets the equilibrium. There's a lot of particles that flow around in a solar system that we're unaware of. The Zetas say we're aware of maybe only 1 out of 1,000 subatomic particles that they know of that flow around. So in our core has been swirling, and our magnetism has been jerked in different directions. All of this is causes the core to swirl. Heating up from the bottom up, our ground. Scientists have measured this. The rocks are heating from the bottom up. Permafrost is melting from the bottom up. All those glaciers and the poles melting, that's way outside global warming models.
All right, let's go to the phones. And again, you can ask a question of Nancy or the Zetas. You pick. Hello there. You're on the air, Wildcard Line.
Yes, my name is Eric, and I'm calling from North Dakota.
Ah,
and I have a couple questions for the Zetas.
Sure.
Number one, how far in advance is your technology to ours?
Okay, here's the Zetas on that. It would be hard for you to fathom. Everyone who views UFOs is aware that we control gravity, that we can disappear into other dimensions. We've mentioned that we manufacture our own food. It's noted on the Zeta Talk website that we live for 400 years and can genetically engineer ourselves, have an IQ of 287 on average. The technology allows us to, for instance, travel across the universe rapidly, basically teleporting ourselves. We commandeer gravity for this, create a tunnel. We eliminate the repulsion force, which is like an anti-gravity force, so that it's just the draw, and it's faster than light, much faster. These matters are hard for humans to conceptualize. We are able to regrow limbs. They don't quite look perfect, but for instance, if we have an arm chopped off, we can control growth hormones. These are some examples. End of Zeta Talk.
And your second question.
And what happened at the beginning? What was the spark for the Big Bang? And I got to run.
Thank you.
Sure. And here's Zeta's on that. We have mentioned that black holes and Big Bangs happen periodically in portions of the universe to renew that portion of the universe. It's a natural cyclical process. And why God so structured the universe this way, we have no answer any more than you do. We are frequently asked, does God exist? What is the plan? Why does life form as it does? These are mysteries to ourselves also. We are not the highest level of advancement spiritually. You may be in kindergarten and we may be in fourth grade, but neither of us is getting our PhD and to be privy to this kind of information. So it's a puzzlement for us also. End of Zeta Talk.
Okay, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Melinda from Atlanta. How are you all?
Fine, Melinda.
I have two questions. How old, I want to talk to the Zetas, I'm sorry.
Okay.
How old is the human race? And is all the races from one source? And why the different races?
Okay, here's Zeta Talk on that. We have been early on in the life of Zeta Talk been asked about this and detailed six different races of man that were genetically engineered, not all of which survived. Angola man, for instance, was fuzzy in Africa and did not protect himself, had no aggressive instinct, and faded. And also Indonesia man, who was barrel-chested, was also too slow and cumbersome to protect himself against large predators. But a white man, a black man, China man, all survived. So how old is the human race? This has taken process over approximately a million years. You're aware most recently of the recent history because the bones that you dig up that reflect proper cranial size for brain and the like show this. But there are many steps that are interim and need to be integrated. Neanderthal man, for instance, was phased out because he could not digest the foods on your earth and was replaced by modern man. Everyone says, well, why did he die out? And that's the reason cut the vase on the males and allowed them to continue their life. They simply didn't produce offspring. So the early stages where you take the ape and begin to make changes, you allow the ape to go back and incorporate and sort out the changes, the genetic engineering, because it may fail. It may not survive in the environment, the field, which is Earth surface. And therefore, long periods of time are given to allow the genetic engineering to prove itself out or fail. So approximately a million years has been in process. End of Zeta Talk.
Anything else, Melinda? That's it?
I wanted to know, are we going to evolve into another set of beings if this one, like this, where we are now, is not good? Will we look like something else in a few years?
Yes. Here's Zetas on that. Indeed, we are forming a hybrid race. This is detailed on the Zeta Talk website. It's a cross between Zetas and humans. Many human contactees say, they put a baby in my arms, and I recognized it was mine, or report pregnancies that disappear, what is considered sexual operations. We collect sperm from men. This is very seldom reported because they're in the passive position on a table, not quite the manly thing that they like to report, but women say, oh, my ova was harvested, or they took a small fetus from me. And these hybrids will be skinny like ourselves, have large eyes like ourselves, but will have your colored pupils, our IQ, our longevity. They will also digest food as humans do, but will not fart, will not gain fat, and do not really require sleep, although will probably have rest periods where we, the Zetas, do not require sleep. So do explore the hybrid section on Zeta Talk. It has physiological differences and some drawings that Nancy has produced of her participation in this program and her hybrid son, whom she was introduced to. End of Zeta Talk.
Would you, Zetas, tell us if an asteroid was approaching the planet?
Here's Zeta's talk on that. We are not allowed by the rules to warn you specifically when an earthquake is going to happen, when a tornado is going to hit, when a meteor is going to strike. This is considered interference. very rarely rules, for instance, the fact that no weapons of mass destruction was found in Iraq, this was due by our hand. We were granted an exception because since the U.S. military is so strong, equal in strength to all other militaries around the world, and, the Bush White House, that crowd was intent on commandeering all the oil fields, we were granted an exception by the Council of Worlds to interfere, and we simply snatched those nukes away when they were planted by the CIA, which is supported by the fact that there were some radioactive soldiers who were dying of radioactivity coming back from Germany and recounted or were debriefed in Germany as to the CIA op. So very seldom are the rules allowed to be broken. Some people are protected. Nancy is protected from assassination. You can almost pinpoint the people who are. Al Gore, Fitzgerald, for instance, protected from assassination. Others are not. Why was 7/7 allowed in London? That wasn't covered. New fake terrorism attacks in the U.S., because 9/11 was not quite what it's postured to be officially, are not allowed to happen in the U.S. because that would strengthen the cabal in the White House. But beyond that, we are not allowed to interfere. So we are able to give general warnings. We are able to describe the Earth changes that will happen during the pole shift that are happening now as the Earth is increasingly twisted in a wobble and stress put on plates. There have been numerous UFO sightings recently in China, Istanbul, in the U.S., in the Ozarks and up along into the Carolinas, which will be affected by the New Madrid change, in big one in Chicago last fall. These are accompanied by telepathic warnings to the populace below stating what the Earth changes will be in their area, but we can't give a specific day. We can't say on this day this will happen. That's not allowed. End of Zeta talk.
The Zetas do not like our politics. Nancy, 2012, mm-hmm. Let me talk to the Zetas. We had a civilization called the Mayans. Some of them now are still around, scattered throughout the land. But they possessed, I think, an incredible knowledge of 2012, of this planet. They're gone now, but they've left behind a date, and the date is December 21st, 2012. Zetas, we hear all kinds of things, but what do you believe is going to occur around that time period?
Okay, here's the Zetas on that. We have mentioned that the calendar is correct in and of itself, but it started off on the wrong foot when aligned with the Gregorian calendar, and the reasons for this. It is essentially a guess. There's three calendars. One is ceremonial, 260 days. One is the long calendar, 360 days, with the 5 days thrown in, and another astronomical. Well, the astronomical could be lined up to things like eclipses and planetary lineups, but there's no hooks across these calendars. So here you have the long calendar, which is ending in 2012, so they think. And they have accounted for the alliance by some figure, symbol carved into a wooden temple archway. Carbon dating was done on this. However, carbon dating is notoriously inaccurate. It can vary by as much as 30 years, hypothesis has been given. They did their best to try to line it up. They also said the current survivors or Mayan ancestors are practicing the ceremonial calendar, and the ceremonial and long calendar symbols were side by side in a certain position. But who's to say that they didn't lose track during a pole shift, which people do. When a pole shift happens, all record-keeping stops, and it's picked up afterwards as best they can. The Egyptian census was stopped, as the Colbran and the Egyptian papyrus and the Book of Exodus reports. This will happen to your civilization. You will certainly not keep calendars. People are trying to sort out what hit them, find out where the sun is shining, because there's so much volcanic gloom, figure out about how to grow food because the climate changes. They migrate. They have many worries besides what day and hour it is. So essentially, we are telling you that 2012 is not the date. The pole shift will happen before that year, but just what that date is, we are not saying. End of Zeta talk.
Zetas, can you tell us who built the pyramids and how?
And this is Zeta talk on that. These were sighting devices. It is true that the Anunnaki, who live on Planet X and were on Earth in the past mining for gold and enslaving man, and were removed, chased off of Earth by the Council of Worlds because they were disturbing the balance between in the schoolhouse between good and evil, frightening man too much so that they could not make a decision to be good-hearted and empathetic, but rather imperialistic and controller. Oriented. So they were chased off of Earth, but when they lived here, they built the Great Pyramids as a sighting device. There's a long tunnel that goes down into a tiny room where there's a pool that held oil and another tunnel leading down to that. This was so that they could sight down this, and when their planet came back into the solar system, as it did in 2003, that reddish glow would bounce off that pool of oil, and they would say, ah, it's hoving in. Many generations passed, because 3,600 years is certainly beyond their lifespan. So those who were aware of the return and understood built the pyramids as something that could not shift so that their ancestors would have a clue and get ready in their rockets to join their mother planet and deliver their payload of gold. Now, of course, due to pole shifts, the Great Pyramids no longer point in the direction that they were intended. And there have been copycats made by the Egyptians who, like all copycats, wanted the grandiosity of the Anunnaki. End of Zeta talk.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. See the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.